What a wonderful name it is the song we've sung. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'll tell you what, they better bow now in this life willingly, or they're going to have to bow down in fear ultimately. Amen. This is interesting the way things have gone right now. And I'll stand back a bit so that the screen's visible to everyone. Just that it's so amazing how this world has changed so many people's lives in so many ways. And it's quite tragic to sort of see even Christians are cowering down and falling victim to what's going on in this world. Very, very sad. In the light of this world and where it's at the moment, I really believe that we need to sharpen up our swords. You know, we're given the sword of the Spirit, as the word came through earlier from Julie there. And I believe God was really speaking to us strongly there. That we've got to start activating. Make sure the armor's in place. Make sure that the word of God is in our hearts and in our lives. And just the way Kerry led today, I'm taking this, and some of you won't have, can you pass those out please, Jane? Everyone has got that's done the Wednesday night will have this page. But if you haven't been on the Wednesday night study,
come on in.
Yeah, come on in. We've been going through a little bit lately on the disciples, or the disciplines of the disciple, the disciples' disciplines, whichever way it's put. And I want to look at it. Last week there was something said that's just got my, you know, interest and really stirred me up. And it was said in a way that I hadn't heard it said before. But it talked about resting in the Lord. And I'll go on to that in a minute. But it's active. And it's something that's got to be put in place. And it's not just sitting back in a numbness, just so I'm just waiting on God. And some people are like that. They're waiting on God, but they're doing nothing while they're waiting. And they're inactive. And we need to be active. But I want to look at this quickly. We're going to run through some slides. Where's the mesh man? There he is. he wants to be one of the kids. That's his trouble out there. But just looking at fruitfulness in our lives over the last little bit and what we've brought out and what God's taught us, and it's just been quite incredible how it's been exposed through the Word. But fruit in discipline is interesting. And I don't know that we actually are aware of this. You know, it's just come out this morning in so many different ways of how we've got to be on our guard and doing things. Yes, all Christians are believers. I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe. Yes, and they've got this. They believe God's there. But that's it. Boop. Period. So, oh, yeah, I believe God saved me. Boop. For what? You know, there's just this belief system that has a nowhere, go nowhere scenario to it. And it's quite sad. Even though they're believers, not all Christians are disciples. And that's where we've got to look at it. Next slide. All Christians are and can be learners. All men are and can be learners. All men do learn, but all men are not disciples. All Christians are not disciples. Disciples have a discipline in their learning. A discipline then involves study, knowing, growing, and further application. And of course, as I said, the age we live in requires a far more intense, intimate, purposeful, and relationship with God. We can't just sit back on our laurels. Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Oh, I go to church. Whoopee-doo. I'm sure the devil goes to a lot of churches too. It doesn't make him a disciple. In fact, he's everything but. He just goes in to annoy some people, and that's just sad. And if he can't get in the door, he waits outside and jumps all over them again when they come out, because they're inactive. They're believers. They're not disciples. And he messes up their lives. He messes up their homes. He messes up their families. He messes up everything because we haven't spoken the name of Jesus. I don't know how many times, like that last song, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And I thank God that he taught us early, Lexi and I, to stand for our kids and to stand for our homes and our families and to stand strong. And even if we had a negative thought, I'd come home sometimes from work and I knew Lex had had the kids out in a car and they'd be out somewhere doing something. And I was expecting by the time I got home, they'd be home. And I'd get home and the first thought that would enter my mind came from the pit of hell. They've had an accident and you're not going to see them again. And I used to get up and say, Satan, you're a liar from the beginning. And in the name of Jesus, the blood of Christ is upon that car. It's upon my kids. It's upon my wife. There is no way they've been in an accident. There is no way there's anything upholding them or holding them back other than a bit of time. And I'll see them when they get here. And don't you dare lie to me like that again. Well, what happened? They come home. I would never allow the lie to take root and grow. I would never allow the lie to put fear into me. I would never allow the lie to encompass me or to go any further than that thought. I cast down that imagination. I brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I learned that in the early days. And that was the sustenance of our family. So we really need to do that and be discipled in that area. We need to be far more intense. And so God gives us disciplines to apply in His Word. And I want to look at some of these. And we looked at them Wednesday night in a lot more, well, rush detail, because we didn't go through the book, you know, line by line. But in our giving, in our time, in our treasure, in our talents, all of those need to be used for God. And if we don't use them for God, what do we use them for? Ourselves? We're living for self? Are we using them for our own pleasure? We really need to turn them to God. Our trusting, our resting, our believing, our growing, our learning, our following. And in that last bit, knowing Him. And that song, This Is Who You Are. This is who you are. If I said to you, well, describe God to me. You know, man, I would say, take a seat. I have such a lot to describe. I can't do it in 2 minutes. You know, there are people who've spoken to me during the day that I talk to and just say, well, how do you know there's a God? How much time you got? You know, the first thing I answer them, you really want to know what I know about my God? I spend time with Him. You know, I worship Him. He speaks to me. And I've got to know Him intimately. He's healed me of different things. He's saved me from different things. He's delivered me from things. He's given me wisdom. Yeah? Without Him, what would I be? And I go, ooh. and it blows them away when I start to talk to God about the reaction and interaction I've had with Him. Wow. Are we ready for that? You know? You've got to know Him. And He's made Himself known. He has made Himself known. How much are we tapping into that of what He's made Himself known? His Word's full of it. I'll go into that a little later. You know, resting is an area that a lot of Christians have got to develop and learn in and be fruitful in. And resting in God is not a non-active sleep or do-nothing time. Resting in God is a discipline and we need to be active and engage in as part of our everyday life. It's a life preserver. If you go back to Genesis, you've got day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. God's busy, 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 busy. You know? And He does everything. And on the seventh day, what did He do? When God had finished from His own work, He rested. I'm wondering if Christians need to learn to finish from their own work and rest. You know, they that have entered their rest have ceased from their own works as God did from His. That's part of the scriptures. Ceased from their own works. But I think we get too busy in doing our own thing all the time. And it's a discipline that I really, really, really struggle with. And I have to make myself change and do things. Because I'm one of these guys, I see something needs doing and I want to do it. You know what I mean? This needs, this needs this, or that needs a job, and someone needs help here, and someone needs something there, and someone, and I'm like, you know, I'm like a bee in a honey pot 99% of the time, and if I don't stop, I don't rest. But, what I've learned to do is I have learned to rest in busyness. My soul is at rest. Okay? My head might be saying, this needs doing that, might be doing it, and that. But I don't do it out of anxiety. I don't get the, oh, I've got to do it. I haven't got that intense panic there that makes me wonder if I'm going to get things done or not. If I don't, I don't. I don't care. Well, I do, but it's not in the sense that it's going to affect me. And I say, some people, they don't get everything done. It's a pressure scenario. With me, it's a lot to do, but there's another day tomorrow. So the resting in the Lord can be still done in busyness. But it has to be done with a disciplined heart, not a disciplined head, because the head will do all sorts of things. The heart has to be at rest. And my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions, where you get that agitation or stirring or stress factor coming in, it's like a pool that hasn't got a wave of wind coming across it. And that's what we need to do. That's resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him. So it's a discipline that we've got to engage. That is an interesting part of active stillness. That is an interesting part of engaged stillness. I said Wednesday night, I want to research this a bit more. It blew me away. So we've got to be resting in Him, but in an active, engaged way according to God's word, not according to the world's way. The world will just take away your rest. It'll take away your peace. It'll take away your joy. It'll take away your everything else. It'll give you stress and anxiety and all sorts of things, and it wants you to be barraged with a whole heap of junk. God just says, be still. Woohoo! Have a look at the next slide. It's an active stillness, a quiet and a purposeful, engaged waiting. But it can be done during a whole lot of other things. In Psalm 46, now I've only got verse 10, but verses 8 to 11, read them when you get a chance. Be still and know that I am God. There's a knowing. Knowing is a discipline. And that comes about by, hang on, this is who you are. You're my salvation. You're my wisdom. You're my peace, my rest. He is all of that. Therefore, and He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Let the world do what it's doing. But I'm telling you, in spite of the turmoil that's around you, in spite of what's going on, whether the world knows Him or not, my perspective of what's going on in the world shows that He will be exalted. He will be exalted. And even if it's just in my life and in the turmoil the world's trying to throw at me, He will be exalted among the nation. He will be exalted in the earth. The world's in turmoil. It's in craziness at the moment. But am I bothered? No, God, in spite of all that, is being exalted. That is who He is in me. Now, I trust that from that He will also be exalted over the earth and over the nations. But I've got to ensure that He stays exalted in my life in spite of turmoil. I must do that. Or my life will end up in the same turmoil that I'm around. He will be. Be still. Be engaged. Be active knowing. Have an active knowing in that. That He's God, that He will be exalted in spite of what's going on around us. The next one is in meditating. And I love this scripture, because if you're going to rest in the Lord, if you're going to be still and know that He's God, you need something that keeps your mind engaged outside of the world's nonsense and your heart engaged. And meditating, some people meditate on all sorts of things. They meditate on, you know, trees and nature and nonsense and all sorts of things they've got involved in. Or the meditation to some people is just mind numbness and emptying themselves out. When you empty yourself out, something's going to come in, because the Bible taught about that. The devil came back and found the place garnished and swept and nothing in there, and he took over again and brought all these mates with him. So that's not the type of stillness and quietness we need to be in. But meditating has to come from something that's already within us, something we've had imparted into our lives, something that's there. You know, like the study Wednesday night when I heard about active resting and active stillness, I'm like, that's an anomaly. That's weird. How can you be active and still? How can you be engaged and still? And so I chewed that over, and God's word started regurgitating from my heart. I didn't have to go get into a concordance and rush through things. What was in my heart was already there, because what have I done? I've hidden his word in my heart, that I won't offend him, that I won't go off in a tangent in other things, because the word gives me boundaries. The word gives me disciplines. The word gives me direction. The word sustains me. And that word is also there for me to fight with when I need to. And that's where we need to be active and engaged in discipline. And if we're going to meditate on God's word, it's going to be stronger. It's going to be sharper. It's going to be quicker in our lives. It'll be more active. You know, there are people that unfortunately I've talked to, and they go, oh, what was that scripture again that says something about what I think I need that in my life? Why isn't it in your heart? Why isn't it there for God, the Holy Spirit? He will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things you have learned, Jesus said. You ain't learning it. He's got nothing to work with. Holy Spirit, help me. Where's the word? Oops. Not much there. The wrong ones are there. The ones, you know. We need to have a far greater depth of God's word in our heart. Now, don't try and memorize the word parrot fashion in every way, shape, and form. There are scriptures that I've memorized. There's scriptures I know. It's amazing. There was a guy the other day in India. Oh, golly, we support him and his work. Got online and quoted 10,000 Bible verses. I think it was, or 2,000. Sorry? Oh, no, it was long. And he put that online, and it so far had over 1 million hits just in India. How good is that? Now, that guy has spent his life learning the Bible. He has put a challenge out in India, and I think I've told the church this before. He put a challenge out, and he said, if you learn your scriptures and you think you can quote these scriptures, and he put 1,000 scriptures out that he wrote out, he said, I will call you once you've called me to tell you that you'd rang up and say, I've learned these scriptures. He said, I will give you a new laptop or home computer of your choice. And he went, wow, that's a challenge. And so it was after about a couple of months, someone rang him up and said, I've learnt those scriptures, Brother Gully, and I want my computer. He said, fine, what does Ezra 4:6 say? Blah, 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 blah. Guy prat. Okay, then what does Jeremiah 6:8 say? Blah, 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 blah. The guy repeats it. What does Jude 1:1 say? You know, and he said, if they just gave him the scriptures that he gave them, and he'd check them on 50 or 60. He says, I'm pretty convinced they learnt 1,000. Yep, the computer's yours. Where do I send it? What would you like, a laptop or a, you know? And he gave away, and he's still giving away computers to people who ring in and say, I've done my homework. I now can quote those 1,000 scriptures. Isn't that incredible? That's just so good. He's got the word going out there in people's hearts. Those people come to a troubled situation, And Lord, please help me. The Holy Spirit is there. The word says, I am the God who heals you. I am your rest and your, I'm your fortress. I'm your foundation. I'm your deliverance. All of those things come to the surface when they're there. So incredible. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against or offend you. And that's just saying, well, God, I've got nothing there to work with. It's not that you're going to go out and do something crazy wrong. It's just the fact that we're violating God's principles. And that word has to be hidden there. The next one, listening. Isaiah 2:3. And I tell you what, this is where the church today really needs to be far greater in its discipline and fruitfulness in discipline. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God. You know, mountains in the old time, Old Testament spoke of powers and authorities. Let us go up into the mountains and bring. And they were talking about, let's take people away from the authority of the devil and gather them and bring them into the kingdom of our God. Let's go to the mountains and build wood and get wood. Wood speaks of humanity in the scripture. Let's get out there where the authorities have got hold of people's lives and bring them back and build the house of God was one of the things in Haggai. That's what they talk about. But we say, come, let us go to where the authority of God is and to the house of our God. He will what? Teach us of his ways. There's a listening to God that we have to discipline ourselves in. And then in listening, we have to be what? Active. We will walk. It's an application thing. It's the same thing in the resting and the application. It all happens there. There's an active stillness in doing all of this, a quiet and a purposeful, engaged, waiting on God. Next one says, delight. Psalms 37:4-5. Yourself in the Lord. So there's a participation in this, waiting on God and being delighting in it, committing ourselves to it, trusting it. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He's a giving God. Commit your way to him. Lord, I'm just in it for you. I'm walking your way. I don't want to do it in my own strength. Trust also in him, and he might think about it. It doesn't say that. It says he will bring it to pass. And it's like Kerry said, we need to speak the name of Jesus over situations, over families, over loved ones, over neighbors, wherever we need God. If we delight ourselves, commit ourselves, and do things the way God wants us to do it with his disciplines and principles, it comes out of a place of resting in God, trusting in him, being delighting in him, committing to him, trusting fully that he will do what he says. He will bring it to pass. I've told the story in church so many times before about the lady whose son was just an out-and-out drugged, smashed rock and roll musician, Christian family. He'd gone off the rails, this kid. And she just took it before the Lord. She said, Father, I didn't bring that boy into this world to be taken and used by the devil and to go to hell on a slide. And in the name of Jesus, I am surrendering him and his life to you completely. I break the bondage of the devil over him. I break the bondage of drugs over him. I break the bondage of this rock music over him. And Lord, I call him a preacher. I know you've called him to minister and be a preacher of the gospel. And I set that into concrete now before you, before your throne of grace. And in the name of Jesus, I believe that that's his life in you. It took 8 years. He was still a drugged out, smashed out, drinking, rock and roll musician for 8 years. But if anyone went up and said, how's your son? Her answer was, he's born again, filled with the Spirit and preaching the gospel. Huh? I saw him the other day. He was on drugs, smashed out, drunk, and he was with all of his mad rock mates. You didn't see what I see. He's born again, filled with the Spirit, and he's preaching the gospel. 8 years. 8 years. 8 years. She stood with a faith profession and confession that she'd settle with God. Came home one day and he said, Mum, my life has to change. I need Jesus. 8 years after she settled it with God. Where is he today? Went to Bible college. He's born again, filled with the Spirit, and he's preaching the gospel. He's a leader of a church. Now that is faith. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. She would not profess one other thing other than what she'd settled with God. He's born again, filled with the Spirit, and he's preaching the gospel for 8 years. Would we have that tenacity? But if we've got a discipline in God, yes, we have. You know what she did? She did it from a position of rest, because the turmoil in her life of seeing her son destroying himself, she settled it with God. She put herself in a position of rest. He's fine. He's fine. He's born again. He's filled with the Spirit. He's preaching the gospel. Everyone thought she was nuts. Everyone thought she was just an absolute faith-professing lunatic. But she was a faith-professing, born-again Christian who saw the results in God's word and put it into practice. Woohoo! Awesome! And not once did she allow the lie of the devil to take away her peace and her rest and her engagement with God in what she'd settled with him. She would not hear of anything else. The next one. So resting in the Lord. Psalm 37, 7 and 8. Wait patiently for him. 8 years might be more. We just never know when things are going to come to fruition. But we have to maintain the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That's what the law says. Fear not. We came through it this morning in the word here. Don't fear. Come against fear. Don't let fear get in the way. You know, some people have got some stupid things. Well, things are bad, aren't they? I'm afraid so. What are you afraid of, you clown? That's a stupid profession. I'm not afraid so of nothing. That's the most ridiculous expression a person can say, because it invites fear. It invites fear. You know, if things gone, you lost your job again. Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah, the response shouldn't be, I'm afraid so. The response should be, yeah, because God's got a better one for me. Yeah. I'm not meant to be there anymore. God's got a better place for me to be. He's got something else for me to do somewhere else. So I'm just waiting now. I'm resting in the Lord and I'm trusting in him, because he said he'd supply my needs according to his riches in glory. So that job's gone. Boy, there's a better one coming. Yeah, believe God. Resting, waiting in patience. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Cease from anger. Isn't that interesting that that is in that same verse? Cease from anger. Don't get mad about things because you haven't got it your way or my way. We can't get ratty about stuff. I know sometimes we want to get it, you know, make things happen now. It's, Lord, give me patience now. You know, we have that type of attitude. We get mad about it because it's not happening in our time frame and in our, you know, agenda. It's God's agenda, not ours. We're walking with him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Cease. Control your emotions. Control it. Have the fruit of the Spirit active. Forsake wrath. Don't get mad about it. Fret not. Don't start to panic because you think things are going to go wrong and go pear-shaped because things aren't happening the way we want it to. We can easily do that with our own natural tendencies. We can start to get mad about things. We can start to get angry. We can start to fret and stress and whatever. But that is not the way God wants us to do, because in any way of these, the Bible tells us there, it can lead to evil doing. And not so much that we're going to go out and, you know, do something crazy, but it could take us away from what God wants, and we can produce an Ishmael, for example, like Abraham did. The sun hasn't turned up, so I better find the handmaid, you know. What a stupid move that created a hassle from then until now, and its evil doing has been a result of it. Fear not. And you know, what we need to do is go through our scriptures and look at what the Word of God says, Because he reveals himself in every way. In every possible way, we need to know him. And I think that's the only way we can come to rest, is trusting in him fully. You ever looked at the Bible and gone through everything God says he is? What he says about I am? I am. Not I'm gonna be, not I was. He's constant. When he said, they said, who are you, Lord? He says, I am. Always consistent, there. Never been anything else, never will be anything else. I just am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord God. I change not. And yet we've got a world today that says, oh, well, it's the 21st century. God's changed his mind. No, he hasn't. He never changes his mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And yet we've got churches up there now saying, oh, God understands. No, he doesn't. He died for to take us out of sin, and now we're rubber stamping it. Crazy. We have to look at the I ams of God. If he says he am something, then he am it. That's it, you know, that's good English, isn't it? But that's the whole thing we need to learn. If he says, I am the Lord that healeth you, don't come along and say, oh, the Lord made me sick to teach me something. No, he doesn't say, I am the God that sicketh thee. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And yeah, people have got a screwed up mentality and they think it all back to front and they blame God for everything that goes wrong. But it's not God. That's not God. He's a giving, good God. There's another page that was adjacent to that one. We should have printed, should have photocopied the other side of it, because it talks about all the giving things that God is from creation and through. He's an amazing God. And everything that he says he is, he still is. And he'll never be anything different. And the minute we can get that into our hearts and into our lives and into our minds, and his word in there of everything who God is, my refuge, my strength, my fortress, my shield, my strong tower, my very present help in trouble. Oh, whoa, whoa. What do I fear? Nothing. Nothing. Whom shall I fear? Because everything that God says he is causes me to be still and know him and meditate on him and face the challenges in its entirety. You got a song up there? Incredible. We've sung that so many times, and I don't think it's a reality to our disciplines. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, and all the different aspects of who God is that he's made known to us through his word. We need to be disciplined disciples that seek his face, that seek out his word, that get to know him and hide his word in our heart. Father, I ask that you take this word, make it a reality to us, please, Holy Spirit. And as we spend time active and engaged with this life, we want to be active and engaged with you, at rest with you, that our souls are not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said to us. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust in him and he will bring it to pass. So, Lord, I ask tonight, today, that this word will become such a burnt in solid part of our lives to teach us to walk in the disciplines of your word. In Jesus' name I ask it. Sorry, I took you off on another tangent. There, you got something else you were going to say? this song, stand and sing it with me. And know that I am
in the week, I was just spending some time with God, and I don't know if anyone else, but you sit there and your brain sometimes goes a million miles an hour. And I was like, God, this is not what I want. I just silence myself, and would you speak to me? Would you just give me something? And he took me to Isaiah 12. And it says, and in that day you'll say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me and your anger's turned away, you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to him, for he has done excellent things. And as I sat and meditated on that, God said, note where the quotation, like where the marks are as to who's speaking. And David, I'm assuming it's David. Oh no, who is it? Who's right? Isaiah. Sorry, I haven't looked into it. Anyway, He's writing and saying, I thought I was in Psalms. He's saying, oh Lord, I will praise you. Like, I'm aware you were angry with me, but you're not angry anymore. So it's a knowledge of God. That he's going, I'm going to praise you, God, because I know you were, and now you're not. And instead, you actually comfort me, right? So look at the knowledge that he has of God, right? And he goes, for God, you are my salvation, and I'll trust and not be afraid. For you, O Lord, are my strength and my song, and you've become my salvation, all right? He's come to know this of God. That's where the marks end. And God replies and says, or that it goes on to say, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So when you have that knowledge of God, when you've grown in that understanding of who he is, it's in that place that therefore then you draw those from water from the wells of salvation. I just got excited. And then your response from that is that then in that day, when you've come to know all of this and walked in this, you'll say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, make know his deeds among the nations. Isn't that incredible? As I said, like, this is just a short thing of just going, God, just show me something here. And so then this has kind of been my scripture of the week, of all things. I thought, how much does that fit in with what you've said? But so it's like God's drawing us. As I said, even with what I share with communion, I felt such an invitation. He's just going, come and let me know. I just want to reveal a little bit more of myself. And can I just, on top of this, put a bit of a challenge out? We have our night service next week, and I love that to be such a time of sharing. So maybe with us here, can we commit ourselves to seek God for even just a word, a scripture, something to bring next week and share and encourage the rest of the church? Put it out there. Awesome.